travel at speeds pushing 200 miles per hour. The very best drivers in the world putting their lives on the line every week. It's time to get the lowdown on this week's contenders, plus a look at the key driver matchups. Right now, on Gone Racing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into Gone Racing. Kind of a unique show today. Me and Mr. Jeff Motley, we both are remote today. So I am hanging out down here in Mexico, and of course, it's NASCAR time. Mr. Motley, what part of the world are you in? Where's Waldo?
I'm up here at beautiful Sonoma Raceway. In fact, you probably can hear the cars in the background. I think the Ferrari World Challenge or something is going on behind me right now. But enjoying a couple of days up here in wine country.
Very nice. So at least you're around racing. I can't say I'm around racing, but does not mean we can't sit here and talk about races. We didn't have races last week, Mr. Motley. So, of course, Easter weekend. I hope you had a great time with friends and family. And, that's why I'm down here with friends and family. So hope you had a good one as well.
Absolutely. It's good to be back talking about a race coming up this week, though.
Now, when we left off, though, we knew that we were going to be going to Martinsville this week. We'll talk a bunch about that. Motley, you and I have been in an argument. Can we get 16 different winners in 16 different winners in 26 races? We're 7-for-7 right now. Can we keep that trend?
I don't believe we're going to have like a repeat. I don't believe we're going to go 16 races without having a repeat winner. Let's put it that way. In fact, I think the streak ends this week.
You think it ends this week? See, I don't think it ends this week. I think we get a new one this week. I don't think it's over, but I don't think we're going to 16 straight.
Well, I don't think there's any question what a favorite Martin Truex Jr. is going to be this week. I mean, he's been an incredibly dominant driver at Martinsville of late. I think Joey Logano is going to be another really, really strong contender. Now, look, we all know, Denny Hamlin's a guy who hasn't won yet this year, but he's still been the most consistent guy on the entire circuit. I mean, you look at what he's done. I mean, points. I mean, that's amazing. When we look at the point standings, Denny Hamlin is way ahead of everyone else, even though he doesn't have a win. So I guess if I'm going to hedge my bet a little bit, the one guy that could add to the list this week of new winners or first-time winners could be Denny Hamlin.
See, but I still think you got Denny Hamlin doesn't have a win. You still have a Chase Elliott who is fantastic. At Martinsville doesn't have a win. Yeah, you still got Kevin Harvick without a win. You still got Kyle Busch without a win. Any of those guys can win at Martinsville.
No, you're exactly right. I think all those guys are capable. Now, I'll tell you, I'm kind of down on the entire Stewart Haas team right now. That one I'm not so sure about. I just think that right now they've got to figure some things out before I think they're going to be back in victory lane. But the other guys you mentioned, absolutely. I didn't mention Chase Elliott earlier. Certainly he's going to be a guy that's going to be a contender as well.
Well, Alex Bowman's run well there. I mean, Jeff, I think we're going to go 8 races this week. I think we're going to go 8-for-8. And what was the record, Jeff? Wasn't it 10 to start the season in the modern era? I believe it was 10 races is the record in 2001 or something like that, where they went the first 10 races with 10 different winners. And I think we can get there. I really do.
Well, the one thing that's also a little bit different about the schedule now, as opposed to going back in 2001, is we've got so many different type of racetracks. I mean, in 2001, we certainly didn't have a road course in the first 8 races, and this year we've gone to the road course at Daytona. We haven't had a dirt race in 50 years, and we had a dirt race at Bristol a couple of weeks ago. So we've certainly seen some diversity in the schedule early on, and I think that has probably been part of the reason why we've seen some of these different winners.
Well, and we got at the dirt track, you and I both thought we'd see, like an Austin Dillon or a Tyler Reddick or some of these dirt track guys. We ended up with Joey Logano, who didn't break the streak, continued the streak, but Logano is one of those guys this week that could win at Martinsville. So I still think that this week we have 8, and I think we will get number 8 this weekend because of the fact that you named it. We got Martin Truex Jr., you've got, you got Denny Hamlin, and you have Chase Elliott, who to me are two of the favorites. Martin Truex, absolutely. But Denny and Chase, I mean, those are both pretty darn good guys at Martinsville. I think we go 8-for-8. That's my personal opinion.
That's your two best options right there. I agree.
You know, so it's either way, I think we're going to have a great time watching the race, Motley, because this season has been absolutely one to watch. So I can't knock it. I'm excited that we're here talking about it. But everybody, once again, welcome back into Gone Racing, the lovely VSiN studio in Las Vegas. It sits empty in the beautiful South Point Hotel Casino. Mr. Motley and I both on remote today, doing our best impersonation of other shows, trying to thank God we have Karina and the pros at VSiN, because if it was just me and you, you know, I think we'd be in, well, we know we'd be in a lot of trouble, but trying to do both of these remote, I think Karina might shoot us both when we get back next week, Motley.
Well, hopefully we won't do this to her again this year, but yeah, it's we would just be looking at computer screens if she wasn't here right now.
Yeah, we'd be in trouble right now. So to the folks, the great crew back there, VSiN, great job. Thanks for letting us both do this, especially since I'm out here. Jeff, we got Martinsville this week. We were just talking, 7 races, 7 winners. And, you know, Martinsville, Virginia, a short track, shortest on the schedule. One of the, I know I used to joke, one of your home tracks, I used to joke and say I hated this place, me and Mike Smith. But this is a fantastic place to race and a fantastic place for fans to go watch the race. Have you heard, are they opening up any of the restrictions in Virginia? What are they allowed at Martinsville this weekend?
They are going to be allowed fans this weekend at Martinsville. Excellent. I think the number's going to be somewhere in the 10 to 15,000 range. I think that's what they're hoping for at the Speedway. You know, we like to joke about how every track is like Martin Truex Jr.'s home track and all this. Look, Martinsville truly is my home track. I grew up about 9 miles from the Speedway, went to my first race there when I was 5 years old. I remember watching Earl Ross, a Canadian, driving an R&D car for Junior Johnson as a teammate to Cale Yarbrough, winning there in about 1974. You weren't even born, I don't think. So, my history going back with Martinsville Speedway, I don't know. I always get excited about Martinsville weekend just because I kind of feel like it's a little piece of home. You know, I love going and watching the modifieds and the late model sportsmen. You know, Richie Evans was one of my heroes, one of the great modified racers of all time, who also lost his life at Martinsville Speedway, which unfortunately I was there that day too. But just so many memories, you know, with my dad and my grandfather going to races at Martinsville Speedway from the time I was big enough to walk.
Well, you know, at Martinsville, this is another unique thing, Jeff. Saturday night racing at Martinsville, 7:30 Eastern time, our first official night race at Martinsville Speedway. That, to me, is just – this, to me, is akin to the lights being put at you know, Wrigley Stadium. I mean, this is just awesome. We finally have our first official night race at Martinsville.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really neat. I haven't checked to see what, you know, the weather is, if it's going to be, you know, cool or not, because this time of year you can get cool evenings, you can get warm evenings. But I think it's going to be a completely different element. I think it's going to be neat for the drivers. You know, the concrete in the turns, we know the concrete doesn't really react as much to temperature, I guess, if you will, as opposed to asphalt. But it'll still be a little bit different for these guys to see, you know, racing when the sun has gone down at Martinsville. It's certainly not something they're used to.
Well, the tires will react differently, even though it's concrete. It won't hold as much heat. It means it may, you know, stay a little cooler, a little faster. But, you know, the last kind of non-betting thing to me, this place has the coolest trophy. I don't care what trophy we ever come up with, Motley. This has the coolest trophy in our sport, the grandfather clock.
Yeah, and do you know the history, Brendan, behind the grandfather clock?
No, I just know that I don't have one, and Clay Campbell and Mike Smith threw some shade on me in my last race when I finished second and said, here's a brochure, because close I'm going to come to get the one.
Well, back in the day, in the 50s and the 60s, and really even into the 70s, Martinsville and the Henry County area where Martinsville sits was probably it was the furniture capital of the United States. There were so many furniture companies, Bassett Industries, American of Martinsville, Hooker Furniture, Pulaski Furniture, all these furniture stores, these major factories were all in the Martinsville area. And the furniture was such a big deal that Clay Earls, who founded the Speedway, got with the folks at American of Martinsville and created this grandfather clock. as a trophy, and it is still being used today. And it is. It's an amazing trophy. And guys like Darrell Waltrip and Richard Petty and some of those guys got a whole lot of things to tell time sitting around their houses.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson has quite a few of those, and I, of course, have zero. And I've tried quite a few times to get that clock. So, all right, we've joked about that stuff enough. Let's get into – I want to start, Motley, with just the championship odds this year. We talked last week a lot, and we talk all season about when to bet the futures. Look, we're about betting here. This is what we're here for. When do you bet futures? And if you started the season and you looked at people today, we talked last week how – Kyle Larson has come way down in the odds to win the championship. Some guys have gone their way back up. To me, when I look at the odds to win the championship, Chase Elliott at plus 550, Denny Hamlin is 650 right now, Joey Logano and Martin Truex Jr. at 700s, Kevin Harvick 750, Larson down to 800, Blaney at 850 with Kyle Busch right there, Brad Kay at 900, and William Byron 14-1. Just that side of the page, if I'm a bettor right now, I'm looking and I'm saying, hey, wait, I know Kyle Busch ain't winning, but Kyle Busch plus 850 and Kevin Harvick plus 750. Molly, I know you're not high on Stuart Haas, but man, plus 750. I mean, that's Kevin was plus, I think, you know, less than plus 300 most of last year.
Well, but I think I'm also a little bit blown away that while Kevin may be plus 750, Martin Truex Jr. is plus 700. Those numbers are very similar, and Truex seems to be getting hot right now. And we know how good he's going to be on road courses. We know how good he is on short tracks. He's even proven to us that he could race pretty well on dirt, even though that was obviously the Xfinity race that he won at Bristol. You know, Truex is a guy who, you know, I'm sitting up here at Sonoma right now. He's won the last two races here at Sonoma. He's going to be going for three in a row here. I think that plus 700 number on Truex is a great number. And, you know, you like to talk about when you bet him. You know, if you want to take a little flyer to me on a guy that's double digits, you know, William Byron has seemed to have gotten consistent everywhere that he goes, and he is really adapting to these racetracks well, and he could be a real dark horse when we get into the playoffs.
You know, I poo-pooed him at the start of the dirt race when I said, you know, okay, he won the Wednesday night iRace Bristol dirt race, and okay, but this is real world now. And I tend to do that to like William Byron and Alex Bowman and some of these young kids a lot. And they're making me, you know, eat crow every week. Byron at 14-1, he could be the next guy that starts to put this stuff together. I think he could be on there. And I also think Christopher Bell, who's already won once this year, I think Christopher Bell could be somebody that really does start outperforming what we expected of them this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think Christopher Bell kind of shocked everybody by getting that win on the road course at Daytona. And I think we had such high expectations for him going into that dirt race at Bristol. And strangely enough, of all people, it was driver error on Christopher Bell's part that ended up taking him out of the race. So I think I've probably been a little bit disappointed in Christopher Bell since he won his race, but that's just me.
No, absolutely. I think we didn't expect a lot out of him, Jeff, and then all of a sudden he won, we expected, and then he's come back to what our expectations were to start the season. But if Christopher Bell can get hot, he's a kid that's proven that he can do it. He's at the organization that definitely knows how to do it. So I think we could see some stuff out of him in that double-digit round. You know, that's a nice number on that championship side. Anybody else over there I look at, you know, okay, Alex Bowman's 30-1, Kurt Busch 33, Eric Almirola, Austin Dillon are both 50s. You know, Cole Custer 66, Matty D 66, Tyler Reddick. I don't know. I just, you know, maybe a Kurt Busch, but I just don't think the organization is good enough to compete all the way through.
No, I agree with you. I think, and look, it's not exactly going out on a limb here, but I would feel pretty confident in saying the champion this year is going to come from that left-hand column that we're looking at on our screen there. And I think we've got, what, 10 names up there. I think it's going to be interesting to see more than anything who are going to be the 16 drivers who make it to the playoffs, because I really, really think the champion's going to come from that group on the left. And I tell you, there's a few guys even in that group on the left, I really don't think that there is going to be much of a factor as people think they are. You know, one guy we haven't mentioned either, Brendan, is Brad Keselowski. I mean, he's a plus 900 There's a defending series champ. He's driving for Penske. We know how good that team is. And he's the third guy in line at Penske on that list right there, which is a little surprising to me.
Yeah, the third – hey, you said that right. The third guy at Penske. They have three teams at Penske. And you have Brad Keselowski as the highest odd at plus 900. You know, and that's – I mean, Logano plus 700, okay, yeah, sure. You know, Blaney plus 850, but that's impressive that Brad Keselowski is the long shot in that group, and he's plus 900. He could man, I look at this as a better, and it makes me salivate for a future. You know, I mean, I can see a lot.
It also shows the strength of the teams. You got three Gibbs drivers there, three Penske drivers, and three Hendrick drivers. The only one not in one of those three teams is Kevin Harvick, and he's a guy that I'm just telling you, until that entire organization gets a little bit better, you know, I think you're going to see Harvick's odds go from a plus 750 to a plus 800 and then a plus 900, and it wouldn't shock me to see him be a double-digit guy within the next 2 months if that team, the whole Stuart Haas organization, can't start running a little better.
Well, and there's a point. I do always talk about timing, right? I say, I want this to be timed correctly. Okay, well, then I agree with you. Wait another 2-3 weeks. Wait a month and see if Kevin Harvick's odds jump into that 900, jump into a double digit if he's still not running well. Then jump on him then. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be kind of interesting there. I mean, and you know, in Elliott right now, I'm actually, I guess I've been a little bit disappointed that Elliott has not been a little bit more consistent and hasn't run better and hasn't gotten a win. I mean, look, I know he had some real bad luck on the road course at Daytona, and he's had some bad luck, you know, in a few races throughout the year. But, you know, Chase Elliott at plus 550, if he doesn't start running a little bit better over the next few weeks, we could see that number shrink a little bit.
Well, you know what? We're talking about those futures. We're talking about that thing. But let's start talking about the odds to win Martinsville for a second. The Motley, since you're mentioning Brad Kay and Chase Elliott, which you guys we talked about. Let me give you a stat before I give you the odds. Who do you think has the best average finish last 10 races at Martinsville Speedway?
Wow. I know you've got that right in front of you. I would probably, yes, I do. If I were a guessing person, I'd probably say maybe Joey Logano.
And I would have thought Joey Logano or even Chase Elliott or Martin Truex, how we always thought. Brad Keselowski, 10 races, 10 top 10s at Martinsville Speedway.
Has he had any top fives?
Nine top fives. Nine.
Nine top fives, really?
Nine top fives in the last 10 races at Martinsville. Where in the world have we not been talking about this? My gosh.
Has he never won at Martinsville, though?
Yeah, he's won in 2017 and 2019.
Yeah, I missed the boat on that.
I'm looking at the stats right now, and I'm going, oh, my God. We talked about Brad just now on championship, but I had no 3.8 average finish last 10 races. That's phenomenal, Jeff.
That is quite remarkable. And yeah, and some of these races, wow. And, you know, you talk about the playoff race, those are a lot of money on the line there. I mean, it's a lot at stake in those races.
No, absolutely. That just floored me. All right, let's get to the odds though. To win the race, you got Martin Truex Jr. at plus 500, Chase Elliott plus 600, Brad Kay at plus 600, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano at 700, Ryan Blaney at 800. Then you get to double digits. Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, 12-1, Kevin Harvick, 14. Alex Bowman, William Byron, both at 25. Chris Revell, Kurt Busch, 30s. Matty D, 66 with Tyler Reddick. Eric Almirola, Austin Dillon, Ryan Newman, Bubba Wallace all at 81. And Chase Briscoe rounds that out at 100-1 on our first page. After talking about Brad Keselowski and his run there at plus 600, okay, only two wins, but still, maybe when we get to the top threes, I think I found my first bet for the week.
Well, I'll tell you something. I think, given the dominance that Martin Truex Jr. has had there to be plus 500, I mean, weren't we used to seeing guys like a Truex at Martinsville, or knowing what we now know about Keselowski? Aren't we used to seeing those guys being like a plus 250 or a plus 300 to win? I mean, plus 500 and plus 600 seem like pretty good numbers to me.
Well, listen, and we talk about Martin Truex's dominance, but he doesn't even have as good of an average finish as many top tens or top fives as Brad Keselowski. So, I mean,
but he's got,
you know,
wins.
Those. No, they got the same number of wins, two wins in the last 10 races, each of them. So I you know, that those two numbers for Martin and Brad Keselowski are great. And then you got Chase Elliott, who, once again, a guy that we think is there. But Denny Hamlin, plus 700. You know, here's a guy that was great there for a while, not as good lately, you know, but still was always fantastic at the short tracks. I mean, Denny knows what he's doing. Second, fifth, fourth, 24th, and 11th in the last five races. So, you know, there's those guys that I want to be. I want to be the guy to have that, those, you know, like we said, Molly, I want that eight races, eight winners in eight races. So I'm rooting right now for Chase Elliott or Denny Hamlin to win those.
Well, and hey, Brendan, haven't we had a double-digit winner in every single race this year? And there are only six guys in single digits.
That's right. We forgot we have the double-digit trend. Who? Kyle Busch, 12-1. I mean, okay. Kyle Busch at 12-1. I'm trying to pull the stat on Kyle Busch. Oh, wait. Second best point getter. Eight top 10, seven top five, two wins in the last two races.
Kyle Larson.
Double-digit. Oh, man, there's a lot of great numbers right there. A lot of stuff to think about for the bettors, guys. When we come back, we're going to go into the top threes, which I think we know will fall this. But me and Motley could find a couple of our best this week in those top threes when we return to more on Gone Racing. Welcome back into Gone Racing, everybody. Brendan Gaughan, Jeff Motley in the VSiN studio, sort of this week. We're both doing this remotely, but you know what? We're making it work thanks to the great folks at VSiN who take great care of us and make us look like professionals that we are, Jeff. So we're going to jump right into the top threes right now because I think we're going to have a lot of fun with these top threes this week. And there's some numbers that I do like when we were just talking. Martin Truex Jr. plus 145, Chase Elliott 175, Brad K 175. Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano's at 200, Ryan Blaney 225, Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson plus 325, Harvick 375. Then look at this jump. Alex Bowman plus 650, William Byron, Christopher Bell all there, Kurt Busch and Matty D at plus 800, Tyler Reddick, Eric Almirola at 16, Austin Dillon, Ryan Newman, and Bubba Wallace at 18, and Chase Briscoe at 20. These, of course, come from DraftKings. Jeff, there's a big jump from the plus 300s to the 600s, then to the double digits. I like some of these numbers here.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. You know, we talked earlier about, you know, William Byron and his chances to win, and, you know, he's a plus 650. I think that's a pretty high number when you talk about that gap between Kevin Harvick and Alex Bowman. But even going back to the ones in that first group, you know, we talked earlier about Kyle Larson. You know, he's in the best car he's ever been in. Kyle Larson is a short track racer. Yes, I know he got a lot of his love on dirt. But plus 325 for Kyle Larson for a top three, I think that's a pretty interesting number.
You know, you mentioned that, and how about this one? Alex Bowman, he only has six starts at Martinsville Speedway. Three of them top 10 finishes, seventh, sixth, and sixth. Sixth is in his last two races. Alex Bowman has a great number next to him. When you're talking about that, I mean, a plus 650, and he's been running really solid, consistent this year. There are great returns on this top three.
Oh, there's no question about that. And, you know, and I even look farther down the line and I see a guy like a Tyler Reddick, you know, it's 16-1, a guy that we've seen, you know, have good runs at the short tracks. And there's a guy like Bubba Wallace. Bubba won at Martinsville in a truck. In fact, I think it might've been his first career win ever.
First win.
Right, he's been to Victory Lane at Martinsville.
I remember that well. That's when I got my brochure for the grandfather clock for finishing second behind him. Thanks, Motley.
Well, I had forgotten that you were the bridesmaid in that race against Bubba Wallace, so my apologies if that ruffled
some feathers. Yeah, I'm sure you forgot. But no, I mean, you're naming guys that right there, that's pretty darn sporty. I mean, if you talk about those guys in top tens and you talk about, oh, we don't need to win the race, Jeff, just need that top three. Bubba Wallace has a win there. Bubba Wallace is 18 to 1. Can this be a week that Denny Hamlin car, he's got the Gibbs equipment. You've got Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., those guys that are phenomenal here. This could be a week that he ends up getting that top three. He's been running well enough, just had mistakes in races. That could be a good number right there with him.
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, a lot of times at Martinsville, we see somebody creep into that top five that you just don't expect them to be there. I mean, I remember a few years ago, I think Danica Patrick was like running top 10 at Martinsville. And we're like, where on earth did that come from? It just seems like at Martinsville, there's always that somebody that just kind of comes out of nowhere and has a strong run.
And you are correct. I remember that Danica Patrick race. We were all poo-pooing Danica, and all of a sudden here she comes running strong. And that could be this, that very well could be this week. Here's another one. We haven't mentioned an odd yet for him. I got to go to the second page. Daniel Suarez, 20 to 1 for a top three. That Trackhouse team is running really freaking good right now, Jeff.
Yes, they certainly have. I mean, you saw what he did on the dirt, what he did, you know, the week before that. I mean, I think Daniel is definitely a guy that's coming on, and that team, look out.
No, I'm impressed every week with how far they've come in such a short time. When you figure that's a brand new organization, they're using RCR stuff, got it. But that's still brand new, ground up, Justin Marks and those guys. That's pretty impressive. Daniel Suarez was great at Martinsville too for a little bit. So that could be another one of those guys that surprises us and gets that W.
Well, and I think especially when you look at a number like 20 to 1, I mean, I think 20 to 1 is very enticing when you look at that. And, you know, even a guy like you got Eric Jones and Cole Custer are both at 20 to 1. And there's another couple of guys that I guarantee you Eric Jones is a guy who has run solid at Martinsville because he seems to be solid, you know, everywhere. I know he's not in quite as good a car as he was in before, but I like some of those 20 to 1 guys if you want to take a flyer on some people.
You know, when you look at the qualifying metric where these guys are starting, Michael McDowell starting 14th means he's been running, still running well. The season's been going progressing well for him. So he's 50 to 1 in the top three. I mean, there's a lot of numbers, a lot of guys, but I like where we're talking. I like that Alex Bowman. I like those William Byrons. I really dig those spots. All right, guys, when we come back, we're going to get into the top 10, the head-to-head matchups and our group matchups. We'll have you back in a couple minutes. Welcome back in, getting everybody. Brendan Gaughan, Jeff Motley, Gaughan Racing at the fabulous South Point Casino VSiN Studio. We are both remote. Mr. Motley at the lovely Sonoma Raceway listening. I can hear Ferraris going around in the background, which that sounds like a ton of fun. I miss those days, kind of. Not as much as I miss looking at the beach while doing the show with you, Mr. Motley. You know, it's good enough.
I'm looking at vineyards and you're looking at the beach.
It's a rough life on Gaughan Racing, okay?
Can have a glass of wine and you can drink Mai Tais.
and we're saying this all while the crew back at the VSiN studio is looking at us going, yeah, we think we're about to have a technical difficulty.
Karina's like, wait a minute, you guys got wine and Mai Tais and I'm sipping a beer under the table here. I mean,
she's got her mask on in the studio being so polite and proper and we are just rubbing it in. So hopefully we don't get her to turn us off right now. We'll go right into our head-to-head matchups for Martinsville Speedway. And Jeff, right off the bat, I am looking at some of the biggest head-to-head numbers we've seen. Other than the plus 200 on Christopher Bell a couple weeks ago, we got Brad Keselowski plus 110 to Martin Truex Jr.'s minus 130. Now, we just talked. Martin Truex, you were like, oh, the dominant. Brad Keselowski, 9 top 10s. He's only been beat by Martin in 2 of the last 10 races. How about that for thought?
Well, you know, it's certainly one that would make you pause. And I mean, I can see why you'd want to go there. If as we get through the head to heads, we're going to see a lot of love for Martin Truex Jr. by the bookmakers.
Yeah, I mean, if you go on the dirt line on Martin Truex today, now, Martin looked so good on the dirt last weekend that both truck and cup race, that it makes me kind of worry about, you know, to bet the dirt line. But you got a plus 110, Ryan Blaney to Martin's 130. And Ryan Blaney, five top fives in the last 10 races at Martinsville. So, I mean, pretty darn good there. You got Chase Elliott plus 110 to a minus 130 Martin Truex. You got a Joey Logano plus 130 to Martin Truex's minus 150. And Logano, seven top tens, four top fives, and a win in the last 10 races. So there's some things here that I could really jump on.
Brendan, we've got Denny Hamlin plus 145 against Martin Truex Jr. at Martinsville. Denny Hamlin, a plus 145 to beat one guy. I'm telling you, that boy, I like that one. Like it a lot.
Well, and you know, they're making it very difficult. Last couple of weeks, Jeff, we've been talking about betting the don't line on Kevin Harvick or betting the don't line on Kyle Busch, right? Well, if I'm betting the don't line, I better be ready to take some minus numbers. Kevin Harvick is plus 110 to Kyle Larson's minus 130, and Kyle Busch is plus 110 to Denny Hamlin's minus 130, and plus 125 to Joey Logano's minus 145. Is there any enticement to go into the dark side with betting the don't line and going up on a negative number, though?
Boy, it's just not a lot to be made on some of those negative numbers because they're so high. I mean,
still
when you talk
money
about minus 130s and minus 165s and minus 145s, those are big numbers.
Hey, guess what it still does, though? It still cashes the ticket and makes you money.
It does, and if you go pick them and you win it, it's going to cause me to have to do math.
Well, hey, listen. This whole thing is about math, okay? It's sports betting. And I just want to make money. I don't care if it's making $5 or $50, you're making money. I like the Kyle Larson. You said Kyle Larson, how great he is, best equipment he's been in here, and how he was such a great short track racer. You know, Kyle Larson, minus 130, and we said Kevin Harvick is just flat out struggling. I don't know. I don't dislike that bet.
No, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I'd look at a lot of those. You know, Kyle Busch getting a plus 125 against Joey Logano. I mean, that's I wouldn't go with Joey on that one. I mean, I wouldn't go on the don't line there. Alex Bowman, you talked about how consistent he's been at Martinsville. He's on a don't line at a minus 120. That one would certainly be interesting to me.
You know, so there is some food for thought here. I'm looking at a couple of these. I may jump on a couple negative numbers this week just because I feel really confident about, you know, Kevin Harvick is not run, like you said, until he can prove it, until Kyle Busch, without a truck race beforehand, can prove that he is back. I might go on to a negative number here in those head-to-head matchups. I'd be ready to do some math, Mr. Motley.
And Brendan, one other negative number up there, and I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit. What is making Brad Keselowski and Ryan Blaney both a minus 110? I'm not sure what Ryan Blaney has done to earn to be basically even money with Brad Keselowski.
Well, I'll give it to you. He's been fourth, fifth, second, and second in the last four races. That's why.
Okay. All right. We'll give him that.
I mean, he has an 8th, 3rd, 20th, then 4, 5, 2, 2. So Blaney has been really, really strong here also. Even though we haven't talked much about him, remember 225 top three and Blaney plus 800 to win the race. So Blaney, if he can get over that, you know, not being the closer thing that I always talked about, and he did earlier this year, he proved that he can finally close. Maybe this is the year we start jumping on him more often.
No, it'd be curious. I think this is a good test for him.
It will be a great test. All right, let's jump into our groups. Let's start with those and we'll finish them in our last segment. Group A, we've got Martin Truex Jr. at plus 240. The regular usual suspects almost back now in our Group A. It's not like last week where it was so amusing.
Yeah, we had Stuart Friesen in a Group A or whatever.
Yeah. So Martin Truex Jr. plus 245. And then Brad K., Ryan Blaney, and Chase Elliott all round out at plus 280 there. We talked about Brad K., why he's so good there. We've talked about Martin. We just talked about Blaney. We just talked about Chase. I could not give you a pick in that group, Jeff. That is the toughest Group A I can remember us having most of the season.
I agree with you. I think we could easily sit here and make a case for all four guys. And if we tried hard enough, we could probably make a case against all four guys. But could not agree with you more that Group A is one this week that I just would not touch.
Then we jump right into Group B. We have Joey Logano at 230, Denny Hamlin 250, Kyle Busch 275, and Kyle Larson 345. Now, hey, that's giving me some food for thought there. I do like how well Kyle Larson's been. We know we both have been saying no on Kyle Busch. Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano, I get it. But Larson, I think Larson could be extremely good there in Group B.
Yeah, I really like the return on that. I mean, that's such a big number there, plus 345. And look, I think we know that Logano and Hamlin and even Kyle Busch have got good track records at Martinsville. But again, kind of going back to what I said in the previous segment, you know, this is the best equipment we've ever seen Kyle Larson in. And Kyle Larson's a guy who was competitive in his days racing for Ganassi. But now that he's gotten into a Hendrick car, you know, I think Kyle Larson's a guy that's got a chance every week, no matter what kind of racetrack we're on, to go out there and have a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, plus 345, I take Kyle Busch out right off the bat because he's been doing so poorly. But I do like that Kyle Larson number. That could be a great return there. All right, guys, we're going to finish up the groups, give you our picks, and we'll close up the show when we come back on Gone Racing. See you in a minute. Again, everybody, last segment here on Gone Racing. Jeff Motley, Brennan Gaughan, talking all things Martinsville this weekend. And Jeff, we still got a couple groups we got to finish off here where we left off. We're going into Group C, and let's jump right into it. We got Kevin Harvick at plus 200, Kurt Busch and Alex Bowman plus 295, William Byron at plus 315. We talked about Kevin Harvick's woes. I don't see why he's a plus 200. I mean, I get if you go off of just straight history, you know, and looking at odds, okay, maybe a little bit. But, man, I talked about Alex Bowman. You've talked about William Byron. We haven't talked about Kurt Busch, though. You think Kurt, and that's your guy, four top tens last 10 races there, one top five. You think that's enough to put, sixth, ninth, and fifth in the last three races. So Kurt running well there still. What do you think?
I think Kurt's always been a solid competitor at Martinsville. You know, those two young Hendrick drivers have been pretty good. And I don't know. I mean, Kurt's team doesn't seem to be quite as strong this year as maybe it had been in the past. I don't really know if that's having more youth in that team with Ross Chastain there instead of Kyle Larson and Matt Kenseth. But I don't know. I think I like those two young Hendrick drivers a little bit better than I do Kurt Busch in that group.
So do I. It's very hard for me to pick between Byron and Bowman. I think they're both really, really running well. I think, like I said, every time I say something negative about William Byron, making fun of the simulators and stuff, William Byron goes out and pulls off another phenomenal run, wins a stage in top three. So I'm not betting against William Byron anymore. Jump on into Group D. You got Matty D and Eric Almirola plus 225, Christopher Bell 295, and how about this big return? Bubba Wallace plus 375. Look, Bubba, we talked about his win there, right? We talked about him getting his first truck win at there. He's average finish in six races, 21.7. You know, Matty D, it's hard to look at Matty D's stats because we know the old teams he used to race for. Last two races, though, seventh and tenth for the Woods brothers. I like Matt DiBenedetto a whole lot more there. What about you?
I like the guy in the best car. That's Matt DiBenedetto. So I do like Matt DiBenedetto there. And I say the best car. I mean, Christopher Bell's got a good car, too, over there at Gibbs, obviously. But I do like DiBenedetto there. The fact that he's heads up against Eric Almirola, I think he should clearly be the favorite over Almirola in that situation. So, yeah, I know he's the favorite, but I like Matty D as well.
Eric's got two top tens there, ninth and seventh. Seventh in the last race, last year the playoff race, ninth in 2019. Got a couple top tens, but right now you said it. The Stewart Haas teams just don't seem to be the Stewart Haas we know. I'd be on that Bubba Wallace pick, honestly, before I'd stick with the favorite with Matty D. I think Matty D is the best equipment with the most experience and the best driver in that group. I think I'm with you on that. Group E, we have Chris Buescher at 245, Austin Dillon there at 245, Cole Custer and Tyler Reddick both at 300s. Tough group for me to pick. I mean, Buescher has been very sneaky. I think that the RCR cars have been eons better than they've ever been the last year and a half. So to me, one of the RCR cars does good every week, right? It looks like we always have either Tyler Reddick good or Austin Dillon good. And I don't know, you don't know which one to pick each week, Jeff.
Yeah, that's a tough group for me. You know, I tend to think, you know, Martinsville is a very technical racetrack, and sometimes I think the more experienced, the better off you might be, which would lead me toward Buescher or Dillon, because the one thing we know is really until the end of last year, you know, the Xfinity Series hadn't even raced it at Martinsville. So I know Custer and Reddick had some laps there in the truck, but they didn't have a lot of experience in the Xfinity Series. So I kind of like, I guess, the two favorites there just because they're veterans.
And I agree. The only thing I say, and if you look at their average finish, it's 19 to 21, their career average finish at the track. So they're all tight right there. To me, it comes down to the RCR cars seem to be the better equipment right now and which one is going to be better at the time, Austin or Tyler. And it's a pick 'em between those two for me. So it's going to be tough to get on that one. All right, let's jump into our favorite group, the group F, the Ron Flatter, but not Chris Buescher group anymore. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. at plus 240, Daniel Suarez at 265, there or there at Jones, and Ross Chastain coming in at plus 320. Ross has not shown me enough to start jumping on that bandwagon yet. He really hasn't performed he hasn't stepped up from the Matt Kenseth era. Let's just say that, right, Jeff? I mean, Matt was running about the same as Ross is, but Daniel Suarez again, that name pops up.
Yeah, you know, I like Suarez. I mean, there's a possibility there, but it's hard for me to go against the favorite in that group. I think, you know, Stenhouse has run a little better this year, and I think that I know it was on dirt, it's a little different. That second place finish had to give him a little bit of a shot in the arm at Bristol to run as well as he did, and I kind of like Stenhouse there.
You know, I'm just looking between Suarez and Stenhouse. We talked about Suarez there. Stenhouse at last 10 races, average finish of 22.9. Daniel Suarez, 8 races to go for that, 21.1, 2 top 10s for each of them. It's a tough, tough pick between those two. You know how I feel about momentum. I think they both have it is the problem. And they should be the two favorites. Hard for me to pick between those two. But to me, that's a two-man horse race out of that four-man field.
I agree. Totally agree.
Well, we have our last set of picks that we do nowadays, the race team winner, which has been a lot of fun that we added this. A lot of guys call me and say they're glad we added this one. It's a lot of fun to talk about. And you have to remember, some teams have 2, some teams have 3, some teams have 4 drivers. So right now, what do you got to look at? You got to look at Joe Gibbs Racing, plus 190. They are the favorite because they have 4 race teams, and their 4 teams have Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin. You still have Kyle Busch, so that's there. Team Penske plus 215. We said we love all 3 of the Penske drivers. Hendrick Motorsports 285. Then look at this gap. Stewart Haas Racing. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Plus 900 for Stewart Haas Racing. Chip Ganassi, another big gap, 25-1. RCR 33. Roush Fenway 50. JTG 66. And the field at 14-1. Any reason to go with the field yet again, Jeff?
No, there's no field bet here, and I think you really hit on it. The drop-off now between the top 3 and Stewart Haas, like what has happened? You know, that is a dramatic, dramatic drop. I think the Childress team and the Roush team at 33 and 50-1 with the way Stenhouse and Newman have run over with their group, and I don't know. I just think there's a lot of guys that to be considered out here.
I'd argue that they're worth – that they should be the 900 and Stewart Haas. The only reason you're giving Stewart Haas that plus 900 is because there's still Kevin Harvick and you're waiting for him to turn it on.
I agree.
So I just, to me, if I, my favorite though there is Team Penske. I think that all three of their drivers are the three class. Remember, Matt DiBenedetto does not count as Team Penske. He is Wood Brothers. So you got to remember that. You got to pay attention to that. Bubba Wallace doesn't count for Gibbs. He's 23X1. So, you know, I like Team Penske plus 215. It's as good of a number as you're getting on guys in top three. So I wouldn't be afraid to bet that, Jeff.
No, I would like that too. I mean, there's some pretty good drivers out there. And you're, like you said, all three are capable of winning.
All right. Well, let's get into our my favorite part of the show right now, because I am still kicking everybody's butt in our league, of course, the Gone Racing Betting League. And I have a commanding lead, I'm going to say, Jeff, commanding over the field. And you, of course, in second place, were both positive, and then the pit crew is not doing very well to start the season. So with that, I say, Mr. Motley, how about you lead us off into the first five picks right now, and then we'll read the pit crews when the we'll read the pit crews after yours.
I'm happy to do that. I'm going to go, and I don't really have a reason for this, but I'm going to go Chase Elliott to win at plus 600. And I think my biggest reason is because I know he had the Hail Mary there at Martinsville in the playoffs, and I just like that big number, plus 600. I think this is where Chase Elliott could bounce back. Also, looking into the group matchups, I've got Kyle Larson winning in Group B at a plus 345. I love him there. I think I got my sheets out of order a little bit. I'm also going Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in Group F at a plus 240. I really like that one. I'm going to go Brad Keselowski at plus 175 for a top three. And the other one, I'm just not going to let it go to pass, is Denny Hamlin at a plus 145 head up against Martin Truex Jr. I just really, really like that pick.
Well, Motley, unfortunately, Motley, you and I aren't going to have many differences sometimes again, but we are going to go head-to-head a couple times. I'm going to come off with I'm going to start in the top threes this week, and I got no race winner. I got the lead. I don't need to take a long shot. Alex Bowman in our top three and Brad Keselowski in a top three. Those two guys right there, the numbers are too good. I like Brad at 175, and I like the long shot of Bowman plus 650. I'm going to make you do math. I'm taking Kyle Larson on the minus 130 line against Kevin Harvick in the head-to-head. I'm betting the don't line on Kevin there. Kevin's a plus 110. I don't know why he is over Kyle Larson, how well he's been running. So I'm jumping on that until Kevin can prove me wrong. I'm going to go head-to-head with you with Daniel Suarez in Group F. I'm going to go Group F, hit him against you, and see if I can't make up some ground. And then I am going to go to the racing winner of Team Penske. I think they are just way too loaded for bear this week. And so I'm going to take my first team winner of Team Penske. And then with that, we're going to have the pit crews lineups. And the pit crew is going to go, looks like we have Denny Hamlin in the top threes right there. Is that to win the race? My eyes are getting old. We got top three for Kyle Busch. We got Group A, Martin Truex Jr. Group D, Bubba Wallace. And they're doing the head-to-head of Kyle Busch over Joey Logano. They are going for the Joey Logano no joke line on Kyle Busch this week. Ooh. See how that pays off for you, Cotton. Bold strategy, since Kyle hasn't won anything lately. Well, Motley, made it through. Two remote guys. Thank you to the crew back at Houston. Jeff, have fun at Sonoma.
All right. See you in Vegas next week.
We'll be back. We'll be back next week, guys. Thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll break this down and we'll talk all our results and see if I can hold on to the lead. See you next week on Gone Racing, guys.